Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pinch hitter, Jose Martinez back in, waiting for a 3-2 pitch. Sanchez nods yes to Yan Gomes, who places an outside target. The pitch, a swing and a line drive into center field, sinking, base hit. There's the first Cardinal hit, and it's by pinch hitter Jose Martinez.
This is Around the Horn with Tom Ackerman and Hall of Famer Ozzie Smith.
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, and here he is. Hall of Famer Ozzie Smith joins us. You know, we played that highlight last show. I probably should play it again, even though you've heard it about 1,000 times. But this is the anniversary of Go Crazy, folks. I mean, we'll take all the magic we can get, but that one of the most famous home runs in baseball history and certainly Cardinal history, Ozzie Smith.
Yeah, that was a moment in time. And, you know, it's a special moment, and it's the one now that, you know, when people talk about me from an offensive standpoint, that certainly is it. And, you know, people remember it. And it's always great when people can remember where they were at that particular time in their lives and stuff. And I think that's what makes what we do such a blessing, to be able to create memories like that to last a lifetime.
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy. It's a home run. And the Cardinals have won the game by the score of 3-2.
I would say probably the most played highlight in the history of this radio station. I'm serious. I mean, that's for sure. And it's, you know, the one thing we didn't talk about last time before we get into this series is the call from Jack Buck and how the two of you are intertwined forever. And I know that the call meant a lot to you, as did your relationship with Mr. Buck.
It certainly did. And I mean, when you talk about Cardinal baseball, you can't talk about Cardinal baseball and Cardinal history without talking about the great Jack Buck. And, you know, I think everybody that has been associated with Cardinal baseball know what a special person he was to not only baseball in this town, baseball from a national standpoint, a sports from a national standpoint, but how much he meant to this city and how giving he was. And, you know, to be linked to someone with a legacy like that is very, very special for me. And I feel very honored to be linked with Jack Buck forever.
I wonder what Mr. Buck would say about the Cardinals situation today. He'd be like, well, kid.
Well, kid. We got our back to... Got our work cut out for us, don't we?
he would crack that smile with that twinkle in his eye, and he would say, let's go win a ball game, wouldn't he?
He would. He would say, you know, we get a chance now to see what we're made of as a team and an organization, and I believe it's not going to be easy, but I think we can get it done.
That's right. I just love the calls from Mike Shannon, John Rooney, Rick Horton, Mike Claiborne. We have a big booth down there in Washington, D.C. with Jim Jackson, and we hope from some magic tonight. What is it, Ozzie? If we knew the answer to fixing offense, the Cardinals, if they had that answer, would be putting up tons of runs. But you produce one run in the first two games. Just in general, what happens there when you start to have a drought like that? Do you think maybe they're pressing at home?
Well, I mean, you're always pressing when you can't, you know, when you can't generate offense and stuff. But, you know, here again, I think you have to give credit to Washington. There were so many people that were saying, I'd much rather play Washington than the Dodgers. Well, I would say, well, wait a minute now. You be careful what you ask for, you know, because they've got some great arms over there, and that is really basically what has carried them all year. And even in the first game that they had,
Anibal Sanchez, yeah.
Yeah, Anibal Sanchez, I mean, he's a guy that's been around a long time, and he knows how to pitch. He's not just throwing. He knows how to pitch. If you watched him, he moved the ball in and out, up and down. He was able to change speeds, and kept everybody off balance. And unfortunately, you know, the Cardinals have hit a bad stretch at the wrong time. We hope that that changes tonight, and I'm hoping that the fact that they did not score a lot of runs for Jack Flaherty during the year, they really exploded with 13 for him in Atlanta. I hope that that is the case tonight.
Yeah, you did say that. I mean, you said that in our last show. You said, you know, Washington, the one thing that worries me is their pitching. It's really good. Yeah. And Sanchez carved him up. He really just didn't leave anything over the plate. You know, he's hitting corner, corner.
Only, think about it. Think about it, Tom. There was only one ball that was squared up all night. And that one ball was the one that Tommy Edman hit where Zimmerman made a great play on it. And, you know, you go 27 outs, you got to figure that maybe four or five balls are going to be squared up. There may be a line drive at somebody, but, you know, it's going to be squared up. But that night, they only squared one ball up, and unfortunately that ball was caught.
Yeah, he was really good, and the Cardinals lost that game 2-0. And then the following game, they lose 3-1, and this time it was Max Scherzer. And same thing. I mean, he's a different pitcher than Sanchez, and maybe the shadows play a part for both teams in a day game like that. But Ozzie, he was working the corners again. He was keeping the Cardinals off balance just in a different way. And it was Tommy Edman who hit a screamer off of him into right that Adam Eaton jumped like he was dunking a basketball. He went straight up in the air and somehow got it and stopped anything that Edman could possibly do. And the Cardinals just didn't have much. There was a hard hit ball by Jose Martinez late in the game that went flying into center field that the center fielder misplayed. But like you said, the Cardinals just haven't had a lot to feast on.
No, they haven't. And I mean, it is what it is. And we'd like to sit here and say that, you know, things are going well and it's going to be easy. No, it's not going to be easy. We get a chance now to see what this team is made of, it's a gut check. It's a real gut check, you know. So tonight, it's just about going out there and doing what you're capable of doing. If you don't, find yourself going fishing.
That's right. Here's Tommy Edman. Now, you said in the first show that you really liked him and everything that he provides. Here's Edman. I really love this. This is, I was standing there while he was saying this about what's happening to the Cardinals when they're at the plate in these first two games. Take a listen.
I mean, just not getting out of our approach and trying to do too much, which I think we've kind of tried to do the last 2 days. I mean, if you look on the scoreboard and you see no hits, everyone's going to be pushing to try to get a hit. And I think just trying to stick to like the process instead of everyone trying to get that first hit on the board. How
about he is a smart guy. You said about his baseball IQ. I agree with you. I think he has a great future in the game. That's a smart answer, isn't it?
Yes, he's. You know, I've had a chance to spend some time with him in spring training, and I knew in spring training, just watching the way that he went about it. You know what you look for, Tom, is some player or a group of players. You're hoping that you get a group of players that you don't really have to coach. And you know, when you think about some of the teams that Whitey has put together, you know, he's always had four or five guys on the team where you put them in the lineup and you let them go out and play. Tommy Edman is one of those players where you don't have to tell him a whole lot. He understands the situation, and no situation is too overpowering for him to deal with it. You know, the tougher the situation, the more relaxed he is, and you try and fill your team with those type of players.
Here's Colton Wong, his second baseman, who has been playing quite well. He's gotten some key moments on base, and of course we all know about his glove. What does Colton think about the team right now? Take a listen to this.
I feel like we're road warriors. We've found our niche on the road, man, how to play on the road. So, you know, we're excited to get there and get going. You know, obviously we know what we're up against. We know the pitches we're up against, the odds we're up against. But that's what we're all about. That's what we love. So let's get it.
I love his attitude. Colton Wong talking about going on the road. What's the difference if you feel positive about going on the road? What are you feeling, Ozzie? You've been in those situations.
Well, I mean, it's a nerve-wracking situation because you always want to perform well. It's about being able to control those nerves and the emotions and when those big moments come. And that's what it boils down to, being able to perform when you do get that opportunity, if that opportunity presents itself. In these first two games, you know, the situation really hasn't presented itself for them, and they've got to be able to create those situations. And that means by getting on base, getting that runner over, and hopefully getting them in, going back to the basics. Because anytime you struggle, Tom, you've got to have a point of reference. And usually when things go bad, you go back to the things that are fundamental, you know, being able to see the ball. I can remember when I was still playing, you know, one of the things that Dave Ricketts, when we went down to the cage to work out, he didn't say, hey, I'd like for you to move your hands here, move your hands there. He says, watch the ball. You got to see the ball. And sometimes, you know, we start thinking about all of these other things, where my hands are and this, that, and the other, and you forget to watch the ball. And so hopefully they can see the ball a little bit better, be a little bit more disciplined at the plate in situations. And you look at the pitching staff for Washington, they know how to pitch around the strike zone. And what you do is you try and allow the opposition to – you use their aggressiveness against them. And that's what they've been able to do, you know. So you got to be a little bit more disciplined at the plate. Get yourself in a hitting situation, and if you do get in that situation, you got to be able to take advantage of it.
And Ozzie, that takes us to our scary matchup, sponsored by Johnny Brock's Dungeon, and Steven Strasburg will be that pitcher tonight. And with all respect to him, and he's been great, he really has. I mean, in the playoffs against the Dodgers on the road, he went six innings both times. He struck out a ton and walked very few. He only gave up a handful of runs here and there. But Ozzie, he is more of a fastball changeup guy, which could be an advantage for the Cardinals. Not an advantage, but it could help them out a little bit, maybe seeing a little more something that they can swing at.
Yeah, I mean, it's being selective, you know, because the further you go in the playoffs, the better the quality of pitching, and that's what they're up against now. You know, so you got to figure out a way to get to this guy. Not easy, and nobody said it was going to be easy, but they're in a situation where they've got to figure it out. You got to go out there tonight, and hopefully if you get a good pitch to hit, you got to be able to do something with it.
Cardinals go on the road, take on the Washington Nationals tonight at 6:38. Chris Raby will have pregame coverage at 5:43. This is Around the Horn with Hall of Famer Ozzie Smith. We'll come back, have another segment after this. We're going to discuss a number of things that have happened already in this series and also take a couple walks down memory lane. There is no better time than October baseball, and that's where we are with the Cardinals really needing this win here tonight. Back in a moment, Around the Horn with the Hall of Famer Ozzie Smith. I'm Tom Ackerman on KMOX.
Albies levels the bat over the plate. Flaherty picks out the pitch he wants. Out of the stretch. The 3-2. A swing and a miss. Albies strikes out.
This is Around the Horn with Tom Ackerman and Hall of Famer Ozzie Smith.
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
We're back on Around the Horn. Ozzie Smith, the Hall of Famer, is with us as we get ready for Game 3 of the NLCS. The air is crisp. The sun is out. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be nice in Washington as well. Ozzie, I made mention of this about the conditions. Is there anything to playing those late afternoon games as opposed to a night game? What are you seeing out there with the shadows? Is the ball hard to pick up?
Well, you know, yeah, sometimes it can be hard to pick up, but both teams have got to deal with it. And as I said before, Tom, you got to figure out a way to get it done. It's like playing in Candlestick Park. We knew that it was always going to be cold and windy and stuff. And for the Giants, I think for the most part, when Roger Craig was managing them, they used that to their advantage. Playing on AstroTurf, with the weather as hot as it was when we played, we took advantage of that. You know, so both teams have got to battle the shadows, if there are shadows, but you got to find a way to get it done.
The Cardinals pitcher is Jack Flaherty. Just absolutely love this guy. What a competitor he is. And I really love and appreciate the relationship that he's developed with Bob Gibson. Isn't that beautiful to have those two working together from different generations?
Yes, it is. And he's a smart kid for recognizing and being able to take advantage of that situation. And I think one of the things that has really been special about him is that, you know, when he was struggling early in the year, it's because he was missing down the middle. You know, when he missed now, you see that he's missing down and away. He's not missing in the middle of the strike zone. And that's very, very important for a pitcher. You know, you got to be able to, you got to learn to pitch around the strike zone. I think one of the mistakes that we made in the first game, Michaelis got a pitch up to a number 8 hitter with the pitcher coming up. that allowed them to go ahead 1-0. You know, you can't make those mistakes at this time of year and get away with it. And I think if he had to do it over again, I think that he would probably pitch him a little bit different or make a better pitch than that was. And I think that was the kind of the mistakes that end up costing you in the long run.
Such a strong, big right-hander, and so young, 23. He's going to turn 24 tomorrow. How about that?
Oh, boy. Yeah, well, it would just be a great birthday present to himself.
It would, wouldn't it? Jack Flaherty is pitching, and he was born on October 15th, 1995. I don't even like that. Gosh.
Oh, boy. I can't remember 1995. Golly.
He was 2 years old when I started at KMOX. I can't get over that. Ozzie, what about just overall looking at this series and thinking about these two teams and then looking on the other side and seeing, we'll get back to the Cardinals in just a moment, but looking on the other side and seeing the Astros and the Yankees, those two heavyweights going at it. Yesterday, here, take a listen to this. Here's a, you did on this date in 1985, crack a walk-off home run. Here is a shortstop doing the same thing on the Astros radio network.
Correa tonight, 1-for-4, an RBI double in the second. Outfield shaded the other way. And deep, first pitch. And Correa lines it deep to right field. Judge is going back at the wall. Looking out. See you later. See you later. See you later. See you later. Astros even the series at a game apiece on the walk-off home run by Carlos Correa in the bottom of the 11th.
Carlos Correa hits a solo homer, and the Yankees, who took game one 7-0, take one on the chin there, 3-2 in 11 innings, Ozzie. What a series that's going to be in the ALCS.
Oh, yes, and, you know, many people are saying that, you know, that really is kind of the highlight of the season. Those two powerhouses, and they were on a collision course all year, and it's finally here, and you're seeing two organizations that have really, really put it together who have had great years. So the fact that Houston was able to win last night, I think, really sets this series up big time going back to Yankee Stadium. And it's going to be a fun series. They have great pitching and great offense. So that series is going to be fun to watch. But, you know, as a Cardinal fan, you know, we've got to get ourselves in a position now to hopefully play against one of those two teams.
Yeah, wouldn't you love to see Adam Wainwright get another chance? Look, basically, you go to Washington, and it's like a road series. Got to win 2 out of 3, and if you can do that, you'll get the ball back into the hands of Adam Wainwright. Words can't describe really how special it is. Well, they can, but we're going to do our best. But that Adam Wainwright, a year ago, Ozzie, we didn't even know what his pitching future was going to be. Now here he is pitching two absolute gems in the postseason. What a career for him.
Well, I think it speaks to, you know, his heart, his work ethic, and his grit. You know, he has that special something that allows him to step it up when he has to. I mean, I think he's done that his whole career. And as we age, you know, people, you know, you don't have the same type of stuff, but you have the smarts. And he certainly has the smarts, and he's been able to really, really keep those guys off balance, and has picked extremely, extremely well, and deserves a lot better outcome than what he's gotten.
The 1-2 pitch, swing and a miss, struck him out. 10 strikeouts for Wainwright as Suzuki goes down on strikes for the second time in the game.
And he's throwing that curveball just so well. I mean, when it comes out of his hand and it just floats in there around 70, 75, it can really buckle you, can't it? One of the all-time great curveballs out of the hand of Adam Wainwright.
He has a good one, and I think, you know, it has come back to him. He lost it there for a little bit, but it's come back to him. He's got a good feel for it right now, and he's throwing now as good as we've ever seen him. He's pitching now as well as we've ever seen him pitch.
Here's Waino.
Yeah, we're down 2-0, and that's why we play best of 7, right? They're gonna bring out all the stops, and they have a pretty strong advantage right now. But, you know, they won 2 games at our place. We're gonna go try to do at least that at theirs, and get this thing right again.
He's kind of like the spiritual leader of this team, where they all want to be Yadier Molina. He's just as good a player as the Cardinals have had, and one of the greatest, if not the best, catcher ever. But Wainwright just lifts them, and if they can all find a little Adam Wainwright in themselves, I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah, I think you just got to reach down. You know, now is the time to reach down and dig deep. as I said, it is what it is. You know, you've got to either show up and play the way you're capable of playing, or you find yourself going fishing.
That's right. What do you think about Wainwright, just what he's done and maybe what his future holds? I have no idea. I hope that's not his last game. I think he could probably go another year if he wanted to.
Yeah, I think that he's put himself in a position where he's very deserving. If not as a starter or whatever, just being around or having a guy like that around, I think is very, very important to these young guys. I think they have so much confidence in his in the way he goes about his business and the confidence that he gives these young guys. They have a lot of confidence in him, and he's not just talking it. He's walking it. He's going out there and showing them what it takes to be a champion.
Here's Mike Schilt. What did he have to say after game two?
I mean, this series is far from over, and we have a guy going that's one of the best guys and really the best guy in baseball. Second half, undisputed.
And that's absolutely the fact. He is the hottest pitcher in baseball right now, and Jack Flaherty, Mike Schilt, and his team looking ahead. I would appreciate, if I were Mike Schilt, and I know that he does, the support staff that he has, and one player that you always leaned on as a teammate, that's for sure, is Willie McGee. What a tremendous run this has been for Willie, jumping back in and being part of this staff. I know that in times like these, he's probably a good person to talk to.
Yeah, he certainly is, and you know Willie doesn't get too excited, doesn't get too down. He understands the situation, and here again, it's important to have people like that around who can say that, hey, things look dark right now. It doesn't look the best, but you remember we had to go out to Los Angeles, and we had to come back, and we had to win consecutive games to give ourselves a chance to go back. So it can be done. It has been done, and hopefully the Cardinals will get it done. I hope that the run production for Jack Flaherty continues. I think that that may happen tonight. I'm hoping that that happens tonight, and if it does, we're going to have ourselves a great series.
I think that's definitely the case. Willie McGee as a teammate, that must have been something to watch him just as a human being. Was he always as shy as he was in the public eye, Ozzie?
Well, you know what? He's really, really come around, Tom, since those early days here with the organization. I think he's really opened up. And for those who've had an opportunity to listen to Willie speak these days at different functions and stuff, realize that he is now he's really grown as a person, as a player, and certainly he's growing as a coach. That's something he had to make an adjustment to, but he's liking it. I think he enjoys what he's doing. And, you know, as we all know, Willie is a real winner. And he's part of what has made this organization the special organization that it is.
He has one of those great lines that Mike Matheny would repeat when he gave some public speaking appearances. You can be one of two people. You can be someone who lights up a room when you walk in, or someone that lights up a room when you walk out.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yes.
I love that. And Willie is certainly the person who lights it up, as are you. This is an organization that has a lot of history, and the Washington Nationals are going to have to deal with some of that here tonight as the Cardinals come in and play at Nationals Park. We're certainly excited about it. And, Ozzie, we're always excited to have you part of our coverage here on KMOX. I wanted to ask you a couple of things that I see that you're up to. One is the fact that I just saw you will be visiting with students and faculty at Gateway Math and Science. You're going to highlight the installation of human-centric lighting in the school's gymnasium. This is part of the Shine STL program. You, along with Cardinals and Cardinals Care, partnered with some organizations and St. Louis Public Schools Foundation to launch the Shine STL program, human-centric lighting systems installed at a computer lab classroom at Lyon Academy, the gymnasium at Gateway Elementary, and the multipurpose room at Gateway Michael. This is going to be happening on Wednesday at 11 a.m. I love this. This is part of many things that you're doing here in St. Louis.
Well, here it is. It's about helping those kids, or putting kids in an environment that is fun, one that is conducive to learning. And we know that the lighting in some of these schools is very, very poor. And we found that with the correct lighting, the education and learning becomes a lot more fun, you know. So it's a program that I think the Cardinals have gotten on board with, and it's just a lot of fun. It's changing kids' lives. It's giving kids the best opportunity to succeed. And here again, it's always about making sure the kids get that opportunity and have fun learning.
And with PGA Reach, you've been at it again with that area of the charitable arm of the PGA, where boys and girls, no matter where they live, where they're from, what their background is, want to get an opportunity to play. And they should be allowed to play the game of golf and find ways to entertain themselves and also learn and grow as they move forward in their lives.
Yeah, Tom, it's not just about the game of golf. I mean, you know, we talk about that a lot, but here again, it gets back to education, because that's where real success comes from, having a good education and giving kids or exposing kids to the game and the business of golf. And the other thing, too, is helping the veterans here in our area, guys that are shut in, who feel that the world has kind of turned their back on them. You know, I think PGA Reach and has given them the opportunity to have their lives back. And that's very, very important to have those people who have made the ultimate sacrifice, you know, going out there and giving us the ability to live the lives that we live. And, you know, in many ways they're forgotten. And through PGA Reach now, you know, you're starting to see these guys come out. They're playing in tournaments. And it's just it's a good feeling. It really warms the heart to know that a little small thing like introducing veterans and kids to the game of golf and the business of golf really changes their lives. So I'm glad to be a part of that.
You can learn more by going to pgareach.org. PGA Reach is the 501c3 charitable foundation of the PGA of America. That started here in St. Louis, and it has now reached out nationwide. That mission: to positively impact the lives of youth, military, and diverse populations by enabling access to those professionals, sections, and the game of golf. And as Ozzy said, it extends much further than that into the areas of education and athletics and much more. Ozzy, what a great time to be able to spend with you. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to come back tomorrow, same time, same place, 2 o'clock on Around the Horn. Cardinals will be down 2-1 in the series and put a little pressure on the Nationals. How's that sound?
That's right. We're going to force them. You know, it's not going to be easy. Let's put it like that. You know, it's not going to be easy. We're not just going to go into the night and let them celebrate over there. You know, I actually was up in the Virginia area this weekend, and they're happy and they're excited and stuff, but they're going to see what makes Cardinal Nation so special.
We'll come back, have any other news and announcements from Washington, D.C., and get you updated on all the changes that are happening as we get ready for Game 3. It is a big, big game for the Cardinals, but I know this, Ozzy, final thing. Mike Schilt's going to walk in there and say, boys, this is a baseball game. As he told me, he said, you got to normalize it. You can't make this thing bigger than it is.
That's right, and I think we have the team to do that.
I can't wait. Ozzy, thanks so much for the visit, as always. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
All right, Tom, thanks.
That's Ozzie Smith, the Hall of Famer, with us. We'll be back in a moment. Around the Horn, I'm Tom Ackerman on KMOX.